A lot of hip-hop music and mythology is about freedom. But what about the real figures and nations that actually fought for their freedom? NPR's Tony Cox takes a look at Haiti's battle to throw off colonial chains and the man who led the charge.
He is called the father of Haiti. Toussaint Louverture helped lead a massive slave revolution that eventually won independence for the former French colony in 1804. But Louverture, once a slave himself, was also a friend of French and American plantation owners. He believed in forced labor and refused to help slave uprisings in neighboring colonies. In his new biography, Madison Smart Bell portrays Louverture as a complex leader who struck all sorts of deals to protect the colony. He joins me now. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Let's start with this. How does someone like Louverture, who, as we said, was once a slave himself, finds himself at the front of such a huge slave revolt and at the same time be, as some have described him, the contradiction that he was?
Well, he was acculturated as a European in a lot of ways. He was born in the colony and worked his way to freedom through special skills, he had fairly elaborate special skills. And by the time the French Revolution began, he was a pretty prosperous land and slave over himself, and remarkably so for a free black. And he had a lot of friends and colleagues in the white slaveholding community.
Now, it seems that he decided along the way that he could strike deals with whomever was necessary. What sorts of deals did he strike with other colonial interests in the New World?
Well, I think ultimately what he wanted to prove to powers outside Haiti is that he wasn't going to try to upset their systems, that if they leave him alone on the island, he wasn't going to come off the island to bother them.
Did he want freedom then for the slaves, or did he want a change in who their overseers were?
I would say that he was absolutely for general liberty for all the slaves of French Saint-Domingue, today's Haiti. I think he was absolutely committed to that. Not carrying the struggle to other places was a pragmatic compromise that he saw he had to make because he wasn't getting full support from France. In fact, France, in the end, decided to invade the island and restore slavery. I think he was compelled to restore the plantation economy to raise money to wage war.
Well, Madison, what is so fascinating to you about this one man's life, a life about which you say there is relatively a scant record?
Well, such an extraordinary achievement from such a kind of nowhere start. I mean, he was born in slavery, mainly self-educated. He had some help along the way. He's 50 years old when he gets his first big chance to do something national, and he ends up defeating the armies of three European powers, including Napoleon, and outmaneuvering major European powers politically in a lot of ways. It's just an extraordinary story of achievement.
But there doesn't seem to be a sense of consensus about him, is there?
Well, I think he's a paradoxical figure. I mean, you get a lot of argument about what his intentions were. What I end up believing is that he wanted there to be freedom for everybody, but freedom in his mind didn't mean freedom to do whatever you please. It meant what the kind of Puritan worth ethic that made this country what it is. You're free to work and be productive. You have a responsibility to serve the society that keeps you free. But that was a concept that was hard to sell or even explain to a lot of the people he was leading who had been born in Africa, who thought plantation labor was without value so far as they were concerned and had no desire to go back to it.
Doesn't history also show that for all his efforts at liberation, that the Haiti that he helped to create actually devolved into dictatorships? And does he bear any of that responsibility?
I'd split that 50-50. Part of it has to do with the fact that Haiti, upon independence in 1804, became a pariah state so far as all their neighbors were concerned. Louverture did have two bad ideas that stuck. One was leadership for life, and the other was permanent military dictatorship.
While the U.S. doesn't pay significant homage to Louverture's contribution to the independence of what once was thought to be the most important territory in the Caribbean, How is he seen inside Haiti as a national hero or something other than that?
He is certainly seen as a national hero. He is normally called the precursor because, in fact, he had made a truce with the French that allowed him to be arrested and deported to France, where he died. So it was his subordinate general, Jean-Jacques Dessalines, who fought the final victorious battles and ran the French out and declared the independence of Haiti.
Here's my final question. We know that the revolution didn't begin with him, nor did it end with him, although he played a significant part during it. My question for you is, had he lived, do you think that the history of Haiti would have been significantly different?
Yes, I think it would have. I think he had set up a state which permitted, on a roughly equal basis, the cooperation of Africans, Europeans, and people of mixed blood. And that was a very progressive idea. And he was so far ahead of his time with that vision for a society. I think that if it hadn't been broken up by invasion and war, that would have prospered very well.
Madison, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
That was Madison Smart Bell, author of Toussaint Louverture, a biography. Bell directs the Kratz Center for Creative Writing at Baltimore's Goucher College, where he's also a professor of English. He spoke earlier with NPR's Tony Cox.